Welcome to the Pilgrim's Odyssey, your guide to life's wild ride. I'm your host, Silwan Green. Every day we share incredible stories and valuable lessons on life and faith. Thanks for tuning in and make sure to share this odyssey with your friends and neighbors so all of us together can let our light shine. Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Pilgrim's Odyssey. Thanks for being with me today on this popsicle-eating kind of day, where we are continuing our series on what is happening, why it's happening, what's going to happen next, and what do you need to do about it. As we look around, and our world is on fire. Now, yesterday, we talked about the fact that you're going to have to serve somebody. Might be God, might be the devil, might be your genes, drugs, you name it. Now, right now, a lot of people are serving fire. Vengeance. It's an intoxicating thing. It's a thing that blinds you. It's a small thing in hindsight, but I remember back in high school, I played basketball, and there was this one particular game that my coach took me out of the game, and I was furious. Furious. I was embarrassed. I was sitting on the bench. We ended up winning the game, which made me even madder because it was like, oh, maybe he was right. Maybe he should have taken me out of the game. But I was furious. I was mad. We're walking back into the locker room, and there was an assistant coach who had coached me when I was younger that I had always gotten along with. He was always kind to me. He was such a great guy. And I didn't realize it, but he was coming up behind me to kind of put his arm around me because he could tell that I was upset. But coming back in, I didn't think about him, and I thought maybe it was the head coach who I was mad at. And I was filled with anger, and I was furious, and I felt this hand on my back, and something just snapped. I still can't believe I did it. And we're walking in the locker room, there are people around, and I twirl around and I slap that hand off of me, and he was surprised and he almost fell down, and I yelled, I think it was like, get your, and a bad word hand off of me. And I turned to look and it was him, and I'll never forget the look in his face, because it was the look of someone who for years had been kind and loving, and then the person they had been kind and loving to just slapped him in the face. I will never forget the shame I felt in that moment. But here's the scary thing. I had been so taken over by anger that even though it was crazy to think about doing, no matter who I was, in front of my teammates, in front of the coaches, the repercussions that were come, the anger overwhelmed me. And really, part of the anger was fear. You know, it's the fear. You're getting taken out of a game. Am I going to get to play as much? Am I going to be a starter? You know, all those crazy ideas. You know, fear and anger go together. See, when you think about what's happening now and what's going to happen next, you got to understand, you know, there's lots of issues that lead to it. You know, there's lots of little triggers that allow this to come out, you know. The murder of George Floyd is a trigger. A coronavirus in China is a trigger. The economy going bad is a trigger. But what are they triggers of? They're triggers of fear. Fear is really is what causes people to do things. And here's what you need to be ready for. See, right now we're all caught up in these riots and we're caught up in the coronavirus, and we act like when this is over, the economy's going to recover, but it's not. You see, right now, there's a lot of people getting paid to stay at home, whether they're getting paid by big businesses that are shelling out money, whether they're getting paid through unemployment that the government added money to. But I'm telling you, as time goes on, they're not just going to go back to their jobs. People are going to get laid off. Look at the car industry. Look at the car industry. Drive by, you know, you could buy a car right now if you wanted. No one's buying cars. How much longer are those workers going to get paid to stay at home before some of them start getting laid off? What's, you know, is the economy going to be cranking in 6 months? I doubt it. What's going to happen to all those people when they come off of unemployment? When they lose the extra $600 a week and they can't feed their family? It's going to be anger like we've never seen. It's going to be the anger of the protesters, but deeper and more dangerous. All these people sitting at home, not asking questions, willing to go along with this. You know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, they're going to look and they're going to be like, look what you did to us. Especially when people aren't dropping dead around them like zombies. Like they've tried to convince us was going to happen. When that doesn't happen, and it won't, yet their lives are destroyed. They can't feed their kids. Unemployment's running out. The car places, you name it, airlines, go to an airport. You think those are just coming back? It's going to be dangerous. You compound the fear and the anger, the fear of the coronavirus, collapse of our economy. As I mentioned yesterday, the collapse of our traditional structures that have made us less able to confront what is happening. I mean, think of how many kids are 18 to 25 in the streets right now, and there's no one to hold them accountable. They grew up in a home with one parent. That parent is overwhelmed. They've never stepped foot in church. They have no sense of morality. They are allowed to follow their unbridled fear and anger. They will listen to whatever stokes that flame. These righteous protests about a tragic death, George Floyd, have been co-opted by these vehicles of destruction. And what's crazy, yeah, they're peaceful protests, but they're standing around watching people destroy things. Why? Because they're scared. It's scary. Fear is winning. Fear has won for the last 3 months. Fear is a deep, dark well. Anger is a deep, dark well. It is a well that is almost endless and limitless. It is a well that if you drink from it, it will feed your selfish angels. If you drink from that well, you will not find life. You will only find destruction. In the book of John from the Bible, Jesus, going on a trip, had to go to Samaria. Now from the book of John, he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Now, a little side note, I got to visit Jacob's well once. Pretty cool. At the time I visited it, I think I was more a heathen than anything, so I don't think I appreciated the significance of being at Jacob's well, but well, that's another story. But anyway, Jesus was there at Jacob's well, tired from his journey. So he sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came up to draw water. Jesus looked over at her and said, will you give me a drink? For his disciples had gone into town to get some food. Now the Samaritan woman looks at Jesus and she's like, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So much of that in our culture today, isn't it? You know, whether you're the oppressor or the oppressed, we kind of stay away from each other. You're the other. Everybody's the other. The Samaritan. But Jesus looks at this Samaritan woman and he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is kind of cluing her in by, are you sure you know who you're talking to? Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. See, Jesus didn't have a way to get the water. He needed help. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? So she's looking at him going, well, I'm the one with the keys to the well. What do you got? And Jesus looks at her and he says, you know, everyone who drinks this water of this well will be thirsty again. Keep coming back. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, folks, when you drink from the well of fear and anger, you will always be thirsty. The fire will never be big enough. The destruction will never be enough. But But if you drink from the well that leads to eternal life, you find peace. You find the ability to not just find peace for yourself, but to give it to other people. Now, the thing is, just like the Samaritan and a Jew, to cross those divides, it takes courage. You know what else it takes? It takes forgiveness. It takes forgiveness for a Samaritan woman to look at a Jew who she kind of saw as the enemy and forgive that feeling she has. Christ, more than anything, taught us forgiveness, repentance. Now, why do I say that? Because here's the thing. The people who are doing the most burning right now are the ones that we're going to have to love the most. Love your enemies. You learn what that means when you see someone burning down your town. Now, loving doesn't mean letting them get away with it. Loving doesn't mean don't be prepared. Loving doesn't mean don't do things to try to stop it. We're going to talk about all that tomorrow. What do you do to prepare? Because it's coming. But before we do that, before we talk about batting down the hatches and preparing for the fire that's getting ready to rage until it burns out and hopefully is replaced with love, I want you to remember something. When you get angry, when you see what's in the news, when you see what people are doing, when you read online, people coming up with crazy ideas and theories for things, people acting out of fear, locking things down, I want you to remember something. They are the ones who need the most love. They are the ones that are going to require us to live our faith more than anything. What are we called to do? Love our enemies. To forgive. If we're going to be the light that shows people another way, we're going to have to remind ourselves of that every day. Now again, doesn't mean we're sheep. Okay? It doesn't mean we just sit back and let things burn. But it means whatever we do, the spirit of it has got to be love and forgiveness. It's a hard lesson, but it is a well that leads to life and a peace that nobody can take away. Learn the lesson that Jesus taught that Samaritan woman. Drink from the well of forgiveness so we can be prepared to put out this fire. Now, tomorrow, we are going to talk specifically about some things you need to be doing to prepare for what's coming as we drink from the well that leads to life and we share it with our friends and neighbors. So until next time, I want you to aim high, spread your wings, and keep your eyes on the things that matter, and make sure you're drinking from that sweet, cool, precious water from God that never leaves you thirsty and always leads to life. I'm your host, Siloan. Until next time, peace. You've been listening to The Pilgrim's Odyssey. Make sure you comment, share, and like this podcast so all of us together can let our light shine. For books, videos, and more content from me, your host, please visit Siloan.com. That is Siloan, Siloan.com. Until your next visit on the Pilgrim's Odyssey, I'm your guide on life's wild ride, Siloan Green.